Welcome everyone to the Blind Entrepreneur Podcast, where we help entrepreneurs and business professionals execute their vision by guiding them to profitability.
Let's go.
You're listening to episode 191, and today we have Joe Kasherba. He grew the freelance web design business that he started in high school into a digital agency with a virtual team and clients around the world. He went from building $300 websites, which I can relate to because I also sold websites for $300. Yours are probably much better than mine would ever be, to now building $30,000 websites and managing seven-figure digital advertising budgets with some of the largest manufacturing construction companies in the world. Joe now advises and mentors other freelance web designers and digital agency owners on how to develop and scale their businesses. I'm really excited about this episode in particular because, as you guys know, I also was in the agency world at one point in time, and I think what strikes my interest most is the fact of how niche you are, and I'm sure we're going to get into that and how that made you successful. But Joe, before we get into all the heavy hitting questions today, we have to talk about something that's really important, and that's food. So imagine you just had the absolute best day of your life. Where are you going to eat, and what are you going to order to make your day complete?
I think I'm going to have to say Eataly. It's a sort of restaurant in Italian market. There's one in Italy, or one in they're actually just opened up one in Italy, but there's a couple in New York. There's one they're opening in Vegas. There's one in Chicago. And it's like the greatest experience ever if you like Italian food. So that's where I'm going to go.
Very cool. And that is not a bad gig. I think Mario Batali started that. Is that true? Sorry about that. We cut out briefly. I think Mario Batali started it in addition to like collaboration with Anthony Bourdain or something like that. Is that?
It's Mario Batali and his business partner, her name's Lydia Bastat. I don't actually know how to pronounce her last name.
Nice.
But it's her and him and Lydia. And there's a Lydia's restaurant in Pittsburgh that we always go to.
Nice.
So yeah, I'm fans of both of them.
Very cool. Good stuff, man. So Joe, tell us the first question of the podcast today is tell me about a time that you felt lost or blind in business, and how did you overcome those obstacles?
I feel like that's like the whole entrepreneurial thing is you're blind most of the time. I think one time that really stands out was right after college when I sort of graduated from college and had been doing freelance web design on the side and didn't have anything else. I didn't have a job lined up or anything, so I sort of had to make that work. And I just had no idea how to make more than, I don't know, maybe I was making $1,000 a month at that point, you know, doing all kinds of crazy random things and hourly work and stuff. And I just had no idea what to do.
Hmm.
And that was was one of the hardest times I've ever had. And so what eventually sort of helped me figure things out was learning from people who had been successful in business.
Hmm.
So I started getting some mentors that had successful web design agencies, and then I started going through courses and things of people who had been successful in other industries, and slowly started to figure it out. But there was a long period of time of having no idea what to do.
Interesting. And so I like to get a better understanding of how you started from 300-hour websites to now working with seven-figure type of deals and digital advertising budgets. So what was that process like? Because I'm sure that it didn't happen overnight.
Yeah, it definitely didn't happen overnight. I think that the two pieces are, one, it was a sort of a deliberate process of really trying to raise my prices. You know, really over a number of years consistently saying, okay, I got a site for $500. Next one, I'm going to do $700. Just really trying to test that. And I think a lot of people forget to do that. They're sort of selling their service or selling their product, and they never sort of experiment with price and that kind of thing. And then the other piece was just getting more and more narrow on who I was serving and what I was helping them with, making the transition from helping them with websites to actually helping them get specific business results and solve specific problems, and also narrowing in on a few specific industries.
Mm. So let's talk about the specific industries, because a lot of people, when they want to get into the digital marketing space, or at least the web design space, any type of digital aspect, they want to cast a net around every single type of business and take on whatever it was or whatever it is that they can in order to pay the bills. Can you talk a little bit about your process in how you were able to kind of maybe you didn't say no in the beginning, but now it seems as if that you're so specific when it comes to the manufacturing and the construction company. So can you just expand on that a little bit more?
Yeah. I mean, at the beginning, I was taking on everything for everybody, not even just web design or digital marketing. I was, if somebody wanted a PowerPoint, I would do that or, whatever. So at the beginning, it was sort of anything. What I eventually did, I went through this exercise, which I literally did this, and now I always recommend people do this process. I just made a list of my top, I think it was 10, I always tell people to do 5 or 10 best clients ever. And so you list them out, and then I said, well, why did they choose me specifically? What were they really trying to accomplish? Not just they wanted a website, obviously, or they wanted some digital marketing services, obviously, but what were they really trying to accomplish, and why did I like working with them? And when I did this exercise and wrote down answers to all these questions, I realized that most of my best clients were in a couple industries. They were either in sort of industrial or manufacturing companies, or they are construction and home service businesses. And there's a few specific reasons why they'd worked with me, and a few specific sort of challenges that they had. And so from doing that exercise, it was very clear, sort of a few things to focus on.
So what was the selling point that got them to become a client? I think that process needs to be explained a little bit more, because, again, a lot of people – I just remember the questions that I've had when we were doing when we were in the agency world, and it was like, well, have you ever worked with any manufacturing companies before? Have you ever worked with any construction companies before? And sometimes the answer was yes, and sometimes the answer was no. But you knew that once you said no, that there's a strong chance that you're probably now not going to get that contract. So, what was that like?
Well, yeah, I think one of the – I don't know if this exactly answers the question, but one of the big things that that I helped a lot of these clients that had been my best clients with was just getting clarity on what they were actually trying to do. Having a manufacturing company tell me, we think we could do a little bit better online, and me asking them questions, well, what do you mean by that? Or what are you trying to accomplish? Or when somebody goes to the website, what do you actually want them to do? And helping them get clear about what they actually want is more people to go to their website and request a proposal for some kind of manufacturing services, and getting really clear about that. And I think that they sort of saw me as a regular person. I wasn't doing a lot of talking about tech stuff and all this crazy jargon that they didn't understand. I was talking about their business and helping them get really clear about what they wanted, what they actually wanted to do, and sort of really outline a plan. And so just that sort of personality thing and that clarity piece, helping them get clarity, was, I think, part of a big reason why all of these companies were choosing me over other designers and other agencies.
So something else that I know is important in the agency world is the proposal itself. And from, again, my perspective, from what once was, the proposal, let's just say I've seen proposals that are 20 pages, 50 pages, 40 pages. We just received a proposal the other day from a client or from somebody that we're going to be contracting, and it was like 50 pages long. And personally, I've never read 50 pages in a proposal. It's just astronomically too long and not specific to my needs. Can you tell me about the perfect proposal that has worked well for you, that has allowed you to grow the business?
That's a great question. And the answer to the question is that the proposals that we send are one page and it's mostly a bunch of legal junk. You know, I have a client that pays us, you know, $25,000 a month to manage their digital marketing, and closed out with a one page proposal with maybe this many bullet points about what we're going to help them with. So what I always tell people is that the big mistake people make is that they expect the proposal to do the selling. So my opinion is that you should never send a proposal until you're at the point where we both know enough about what's going on that you could just give me your credit card number, and we're ready to roll. And the proposal is only so that there's some legal stuff on paper, or so you can present something to your partners or your board if you need to. The proposal should never be responsible for actually doing any of the selling. So I think that that's the mistake people make. I think people, you know, somebody will go in, they'll talk a little bit, the person will list out some of their problems, and then the service provider says, okay, great, I'll send you a proposal. Then they send a proposal with all these recommendations. That's you trying to have the proposal do the selling when you should be the one doing the selling. So I follow those questions up with, well, here's the solution I recommend. Here are the steps that I recommend taking. I answer all their questions about how it's going to work, what it's going to cost, everything. And then I try to close the deal then and there and get a credit card number. And I only send a proposal if, for whatever reason, they're not ready to get started yet, they need somebody else to look at it, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm very sort of anti-proposal because I think it's sort of a crutch to a lot of people.
Yeah, and I would like to expand on the aspect of the close rate, because you're going in there asking for the credit card, whatever, the check, whatever it may be, the same day that you're probably presenting the idea. Is that correct?
In a lot of cases, yeah.
What is the close rate from you? Again, you don't have to be specific here if you don't want to, if it's too much inside baseball. But if you want to, I would love to find out, like, what is the ratio between people that you've talked to same day, presented the solution, and then what's the ratio like when you go home and then they have to think about the proposal and the idea that was just presented to them? Have you seen a huge difference between the two?
There's still, working with these bigger companies where there's usually more than one person that's signing off on things, in most cases, it's probably at least a day or two. It's probably maybe 10% of the time that I walk away from that with a check or with a credit card number. So there's still some times that where there's a delay, but in many cases that might be a couple days, or it might be later that day that they respond to the proposal and they pay the electronic invoice. The key piece is that I'm not expecting them to, by the time that conversation's over, we know everything, right? Yeah. They may come up with another question, but they're not waiting for some big. Some answers to a bunch of stuff in a proposal.
Yeah, no, well said. You mentioned one of the clients briefly about a client spending $25,000 with you, giving you, whether that's for their entire budget per month or it's giving you the agency. Hypothetically speaking, and knock on wood, of course, a lot of companies bank on that one singular customer, where they put all their eggs in one basket and one client is giving 90% of their revenue. Can you speak to that? Can you give some advice? Is that something that you would recommend? Do you recommend diversifying? What's the whole structure to the perfect scenario of an agency?
I think you definitely want to be in a situation where it's not all your money coming from one client. Anytime I've gotten into that situation, I've sort of had to step back and say, okay, we need to go out and do some marketing to make sure that that's not the case. Because I do think a lot of people get in that situation. They'll hire a bunch of people. They'll sort of sit there with all their money coming from one client and having no idea how to go out and get business for themselves. Mm-hmm. That's actually a lot of people that end up working with us in our training program. Is they're making some money because of one client, but they don't know how to get more. Mm-hmm. So I definitely think that you want to have some diversification, and you always want to have some marketing running in your business. Even if you're not looking for new clients right now, have it running a little bit, sort of still looking for another great client or building up a waiting list or something, so that you're never in that situation where you lose a big client and you have no idea what to do.
Yeah, and so let's just say that does happen. You mentioned briefly, and you've already talked about a couple of ideas about how to gain clients, about being specific, etc. But how does a marketing company market themselves?
That's a good question. It's funny how many of them really don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I think that there's you sort of have two options. You have unpaid strategies where you're maybe reaching out to somebody via email or via LinkedIn or something. You're just reaching out and there's no cost associated with it. Or there's paid advertising on Facebook or Google. We've had a lot of success with both, ads on AdWords. Well, that's actually now Google Ads. In the last couple of days, they changed the name to Google Ads.
Yeah.
Or Facebook Ads. So what I tell people is start out with the unpaid until you've sort of proven you know who you're targeting and what you're selling to them, and you've gotten a couple clients that way, and then go to paid advertising, because you have to have all that stuff right before you're ever going to have the paid advertising work.
Do you find it beneficial for companies to actually use paid ads for marketing keywords? Because from what I know, and I've been out the game for a little bit, but from my memory, Google keyword, the AdWords cost per click is astronomically high for basic keywords like digital marketing, SEO, web development, etc.
What I found is, so the keywords are the cost per click is very high, but if you're doing it right, then it's worth it. Mm. So as long as you really know what you're doing with the AdWords, where it's really dialed in on exact match or phrase match keywords. I'm not sure if that makes sense. It's basically telling Google, I only want to show up for these terms, and I don't want to pay for a bunch of other crazy terms that you think are relevant. Yeah. So you have to have your AdWords campaign really dialed in. And then you have to charge premium prices. That's the other thing. Like if you're charging a really small amount for a website, or you're charging a small amount on a monthly basis for your digital marketing, it's going to be hard. But if you're charging a higher amount, then you sort of have this advantage over the competitors, because you're able to you can pay more for the clicks, you can pay more for the conversions, and that kind of thing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, great questions here, or great answers to the questions here. Joe, I'd like to just shake the conversation up just a little bit. But before we do, I have to ask everybody that's watching and listening to subscribe to the podcast at tbeshow.com and smash that subscribe button on YouTube if you're watching us. So I just did a little bit of research ahead of time, and I found some pictures. Although I wasn't able to find too much dirt on your Instagram channel, I was able to find a little bit of dirt on your Facebook. So I just have a couple of questions about your social profile here. And so just two questions, really. And you mentioned it earlier about Italy being your number one place to eat. And I think this is Italy too, or is this Spain? I know you went to Italy and or Spain. Do you remember this
one? You know
what?
I think that is actually Spain.
That's Spain?
I think
Oh, okay.
That was in Spain. I think that is a picture in Spain of when I studied abroad in Madrid when I was in college. And I think that's like a bullfighting arena or something like that in Madrid. That would be my guess.
Nice. So my question to that would be, what is it about travel that has allowed you more clarity in business?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think one sideways answer is that knowing that I wanted to travel has sort of forced me to think in business about how I can do a business where I can travel, how can I set up the lifestyle that allows me to travel. But I think the other piece is just being exposed to all kinds of different things, different people, different cultures, things like that. I think you come and you do marketing, or you do anything creative, there's so much more available in your mind to create different combinations and that kind of thing. So I think being exposed to lots of different things is really, really valuable for your creativity.
Absolutely. No, it definitely is. One second here, sorry. All right, there we go. So I clicked the button and all of a sudden you disappeared, and I couldn't find you anymore. Sorry about that, everybody that's watching and listening. My second question is about this particular individual here. And I know that you have a special day coming in a couple of months. Are you nervous? Are you excited? What are the feels?
I'm excited. I'm excited. We're getting married in about 2 months or so. I'm really excited. You know,
There you
she's
go.
done a great job planning everything, and we've been together for a while, so I'm really excited
Good
about
for
it.
you guys. Well,
And
congratulations.
we're actually going to Italy for the honeymoon, so we'll be
Nice.
able to do some. It's a culinary tour, so we'll be able to eat some good
So
food and drink
you're a
some good
foodie
wine.
just like me, and like are you Italian?
I actually am a quarter Italian.
Quarter Italian, okay. So, I mean, is there anything particular about the culture that that you love?
I think a lot of it's the food. I don't know.
You're just a
I don't know.
pasta fiend.
I just always, I've, you know, my grandmother took us to Italy for the first time when we were in high school. It was like the one thing she really wanted to do and take us there. And we met with some of the relatives. And I don't know. I just have loved Italy since. And my fiance have been back a few times. And so now we're going to be in the Amalfi Coast, and we'll be having cooking classes and stuff like that after the
Beautiful.
wedding.
That's awesome. Well, enjoy yourselves. Have fun. We're about to close the interview out for the day, but I just have two final questions. Is there anybody that you would like to meet to further your business along, and who would it be and why?
The person that I'd really like to meet would be Eben Pagan. He has a number of programs on productivity and marketing and just and thought leadership, and I just find him to be an extremely interesting person who I've gotten a lot of value from his program. So if there's sort of one entrepreneur I could spend the afternoon talking to, it would probably be him.
Interesting. I've never heard. Who was? Can you say that one more time?
Yeah, it's Eben,
Eben.
EbenPagan.
Very cool. Definitely do our research to see the value that you see. Maybe we can apply it to ourselves as well.
Absolutely.
Joe, the final question today is: the blind entrepreneur is defined as a person who may be temporarily lost or blind in business, and they cannot see the obvious. So what are to those individuals, what are three pieces of advice that you would give to a fellow entrepreneur?
Three pieces of advice I'd give to a fellow entrepreneur. I think one, it would be to keep going and never give up, and that realizing that failure is normal in business, and the only thing you don't want to do is to quit. That'd be number one. Number two is focus on sales and marketing. Like, spend a lot of time learning sales and marketing, because that's going to be a. Once you start looking at business from a sales and marketing lens, you're going to be able to create products and services that people sort of naturally want to buy. And I think sometimes people separate those things, the product and service and the sales and marketing, and you really want to learn those things and actually be able to create a business that has something people want. And then the third piece is sort of self-image and your identity and actually going to work on your own mindset and doing affirmations, doing things to make sure that you see yourself as successful, because it's going to be hard to achieve anything in the real world if you can't see it about yourself in your mind.
Very good. Well, great stuff, man. Joe, congratulations on completing the podcast. Congratulations on all of the success that's been brought to you. I'd like to give the next 30 seconds to promote anything you got going on. How can people learn more about you, be a part of your journey, and potentially become a customer?
Absolutely. So if you're a web designer or an agency owner and you'd like to learn more about developing your business, you can go to joekasherba.com. We have a 90-minute webinar that we run periodically there. And on the done for you side, if you're somebody that's interested in done for you digital marketing services or web design services, you can go to kasherbawebdesign.com.
Very cool. Good stuff. And all that will be in the show notes. To those that are still watching and listening, thank you guys for always liking, commenting, and subscribing. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on YouTube and head over to tbeshow.com for more interviews just like this one. Go out there and execute your vision, everybody. Have a good rest of your day.